They want me to get rid of my dog. Can they do that?
I'm being fined for leaving my garage door open too long.
What are covenants? Do I have any rights?
Help, I feel like I've left the American zone.
If you want the answers to those questions, join me, Sue Bartholomew, and my guests on The Commons every Saturday from 2 to 3 right here on WEBR Fairfax Radio. We'll ask the experts and we'll untangle the truth about what's left of our property rights. On the Commons is a weekly radio show dedicated to discussing the many issues surrounding mandatory membership homeowners associations. Join us as we explore this relatively new world of controlled living, which includes condominiums, cooperatives, and both attached and detached single-family homes. Living in a common ownership development means giving up the American dream. It means giving up your constitutional rights and control over your most valuable asset, your home. Living in a homeowners association means leaving the American zone. This is On the Commons, and I am Sue Bartholomew. Radio Fairfax, I'm Sue Bartholomew, and joining us today, we have the Farrans, Sam and Mariah, who are here to tell us about Part 2. Now, a number of you have been asking, what happened with the Farrans? They're here.
Hello.
They're going to tell us. Sam and Mariah, thanks so much for joining us.
Hi, Sue.
Hi,
welcome.
You're welcome.
Good to be back.
Thank you.
Welcome to On the Commons. So when we left you, there was a for sale sign in your common area. Mm-hmm.
It was a cliffhanger. Nobody knew what was going to happen. And we had a for sale sign and a couple of developers circling around.
A couple of developers put actually bids to buy the land. And I think this was a wake-up call for the people, some of the neighbors that were fighting us, and they, for that, before the sale sign, before the interest, they never had, you know, they didn't think that this land had value, and then they woke up. And then Mariah can tell you a little bit about that.
I think a few months after we talked to you, Shu, there was an article on the front page of the Washington Post. And that generated about 8,000 comments. Believe it or not, there are a lot of people out there that have a lot to say about HOAs. And I would guess maybe 70%, 60 or 70% of the comments were negative about HOAs. So people are dying to talk about them, and they wanted an outlet. And they had a lot of awful things to say about them. Just wanted to mention that because I think there's always this myth that people are happy and they're just, you know, merrily living, and it's a few people like Sam and I who are, you know, troublemakers, and when in fact a lot of people are pretty unhappy. But anyway, the land was up for sale. We were in bankruptcy court because our homeowners association spent $400,000 to in an attempt to enforce a fines resolution that we didn't agree with and we thought was unlawful, and we didn't want to live with fines. It was that simple. And our contract didn't allow for fines, and the courts agreed with us. So that took 3 years, and basically they bankrupted themselves. The land was up for sale. The developers were circling. And I think, as Sam said, the homeowners sort of
woke up
and went, holy moly, we're going to have houses.
Lose the land.
And
It's three-quarter of an acre in the middle of the development.
It's
we're only 44 houses. So you go, it's like a circle. And it's in the middle of the circle. Yeah. So the town.
It's your centerpiece.
It's our centerpiece.
On
the Commons was.
Yes.
You're on the Commons.
Yeah.
Was going to be for,
so the center, the pièce de résistance was going away, and we're going to have townhouses. So they woke up.
Yeah. And we didn't want them either. We didn't want the townhouses. But we did want to be paid. And that was the problem, is they had a deficit of about, I guess they owed us in attorney's fees quite a bit, the court judgment. And
They had a deficit. And the only money that they could touch was money that was supposed to be in the reserves. So they had a deficit for the whole amount. But, of course, thinking that they can do still at that time whatever they could do, thinking that this money, the $30,000 was something they could use.
But they could, well, in any case, what happened is they owed us a lot of money. We were in bankruptcy court. A group of homeowners organized, an ad hoc group. They were mostly ex-board members. And they decided to buy the land back. They got a $60,000 from a former president of the association, and they planned to use that and an extra 30 that was in our reserves to pay us and to pay their attorneys and just to end the thing, to revitalize, to get out of bankruptcy court. And we didn't really have a problem with them paying us or getting that land out of the bankruptcy. What we had a problem was that they were trying to use our $30,000 in reserves, and there was an outstanding injunction from the court prohibiting them from using that money for anything other than capital improvements.
Mm-hmm.
And the judge, because they had spent $60,000 or $70,000 on attorney's fees, and the judge said, basically told them, don't ever do that again. So this was an attempt to do that. I don't think when they were trying to buy the land back, they were aware of the injunction. They seemed to be woefully uninformed. Yeah. For a bunch of people that were running the show, they didn't seem to understand anything that happened. So we told the bankruptcy court, we filed a motion opposing this, even though we were happy to be paid. We said, they just simply can't do this. They've either got to come up with the money themselves, but they can't use the reserves. Well, right about that time,
a fellow moved into the neighborhood. He's a young attorney. His name is Mike. I'm going to mention by the name of Mike. So, of course, this group trying to buy the land themselves or try to find a solution, but they didn't have a plan. Lucky for them and for us.
Yeah.
This guy comes and buys the house that looks directly in the square, and he didn't want it to be built. And
no one had bothered to tell him the day after he signed his papers and got his keys, the for sale sign went up.
Ooh.
Wow.
Yes.
And
very good guy. Yeah. He worked very hard.
Tirelessly.
Between us and them as a mediator. And then he was the force of reason to tell them, guys, that's it. The battle is over. You lost. Things have to be done this way. If not, there is no other way.
Well, what he did was he gave them some options. He said, well, we could buy the land back and establish a trust. We could abolish the HOA. But nobody really knew quite. There were some people that really wanted to do that. They were through with it. They wanted to, but we
dismantle it.
Dismantle it, but it's awfully hard to do. Nobody really knows how to do it. But he was willing to entertain anything that would preserve the land. That was his one interest. He didn't have any vested interest in HOAs or, he had no, he just was a guy who moved in who wanted to solve a problem. And that was great to have somebody who doesn't have a stake, a dog in the fight.
Mm-hmm.
So he had all these ideas, and he acted as an intermediary between us. But one might understand now there's no money left. There's no money left, so we don't have lawyers, which was a good thing.
And the $30,000 still there?
Still there. And he explained to them when we filed this motion blocking the sale, he didn't know the injunction existed because he'd just moved in. He said, you guys, you can't use this money. We're going to either have to get the money ourselves or reach another agreement. So we started negotiating with them, and we explained to him, listen, they couldn't answer our motion because they didn't have the money to do it, and also they would have lost. I mean, there was no way to answer it. How do you argue against an injunction? So he we talked, we had wonderful discussions, and we finally told him, we said, well, we can go back, but we can't go back to the status quo.
We can have an HOA, but we don't want to have what we had. We need things to change.
So we started negotiating, revising our documents, and we gave him a set of, we pretty much gave him what we wanted.
Mm-hmm.
And we explained, this is this. If you can get this passed, we will take our money. We will go away. Everybody gets what they want. They get their land. We get our money. Everybody gets the association back in a form that they can live with. So we did that. He presented it to the membership
after we, with our lawyers, wrote what we wanted, what we wanted taken,
which was basically
away.
We excised a whole lot of stuff. It wasn't clipped really that hard. It wasn't. We excised a lot of bad language.
You just gutted it.
We gutted it. We
just,
gutted it.
Just.
But you know what? It fulfills the purpose that it should fulfill.
Yeah.
And it is there to preserve the land, pay taxes on the land. No, we don't pay taxes on the land, do we?
No.
We
no.
get insurance. Mow the lawn.
Shovel the snow if it does snow like this week.
And that's.
And that's it. And this is what I tell people now. That has nothing to do. They don't know where I live. They say, this is what HOA is supposed to do anyway, right? Mow the lawn, shovel the snow, and leave everybody alone. I'm proud to say today that this is what our HOA does. They don't have the power to do 1 ounce more than that.
Mm-hmm. And we're going to put your governing documents up on the website so that any of you out there wondering how you can also make your HOA a homeowner-friendly corporation.
Mm-hmm.
The Faranse, you can use their governing documents as a model.
Mm-hmm.
Sure.
Yep.
Take it. I don't care where you live. You can live in Timbuktu, but strip the power. Mm-hmm. You don't need the power.
And believe me, Shu, what we did with the HOA, it's for everybody, for us, but it's more for the people that live in this community. Because what we did, we already did the changes we need to our house. We had our deck. We had our, and we could have been the exception. If we left the old HOA, we would have been the only exception and everybody would be under the rules. Still know this, know that. Maximum, we might change our color of exterior, but we're done with the changes. So it's for the people that live with us, too. Can you mention what the things
have
changed?
If anybody's interested, they can look at the documents we give you. But you want me to give you a little bit of an idea?
If you want to give us a quick overview.
Yeah, I'll give
I want you,
you
to talk into more
sure,
into
I'm
the
sorry.
Microphone.
I'm sorry.
Please.
So what we did was we went through the articles, all three levels of the covenants. We went to the Articles of Incorporation. We took out from the purpose of the association architectural control. I mean, that's one of the things that's always in there. We just struck that out. They no longer are. Their purpose is not to control the architecture.
That does away with a whole community.
Oh, yeah.
It's a whole lot of
they can twiddle their thumbs and watch the grass grow.
That's right.
In the common area now, right?
Yep. We expressly removed the ability to collect assessments through foreclosure. We
eliminated fines.
We eliminated fines. They can use all their powers consistent with state laws as long as those state laws are consistent with our own. In other words, they can't interfere. And we can amend the Articles of Incorporation with 90% of the members.
Yeah, 90. It used 90%. To be 75. We made it 90.
Mm-hmm.
We made people, and it has to be no proxies in this. They have to be present.
Mm-hmm.
And we limited the proxies. Before, we will have a neighbor coming with 8 proxies. Now it's 3. This is the only thing we gave up in the negotiations. We wanted you and 2 proxies. You and 1 proxies, we gave them a second proxy.
Yes, but you can only use the proxies for the budget.
Yeah.
And you can't use it for amending the covenants. Let's see, what else did we do? We went to the declaration. There we provided that there'd be no increase in assessments over 10% unless 90% of the membership votes. So we don't want anybody running up fees without our consent. That's just sort of a basic right.
So
we said we will have no non-judicial fines or liens for foreclosure, no authority over exterior maintenance or for fining, placing a lien or foreclosure for maintenance or improvements. No authority over architecture, including buildings, fences, walls, clotheslines, signs, or structures on owners' lots. That's about everything everybody fights about, Shu. Did we cover just everything?
Yes.
You've missed the six ounces above the bottle. We didn't put everything in there.
Then we added that we can govern ourselves without a board.
Mm-hmm.
So we don't have to have a board.
Well, we can vote as a community without a board as long as we follow the percentages, as long as we vote under the percentages allowed. I think that was...
So that's going back to true democracy.
That is. I think there was a little bit of fear nobody would run for the board after this. You know, there's a little bit, or there's nothing to run anymore because it's no fun. There's no fun.
No power anymore. Yeah, to summarize everything Mariah said, just buy insurance for the common areas, mow the lawn, shovel the snow, leave everybody alone.
This is exactly what happened. You know what I like to call it? We used to be a corporation that ran a neighborhood, and now we're going to be a neighborhood that runs a corporation.
I like that.
I do too.
So this is basically what happened. The land is back to where it was.
So you still have that land.
We still have the land.
It's still there.
Yeah, and we have been running ourselves without an association for about a year.
Year and a half. We don't have an association.
That's cool.
The people that like, let's say around Christmas time, we used to decorate the square. Some people decorated the square. Now, it wasn't association money. It was theirs. Some other people, Christmas Eve, will put lights all over the square. I participated in that. We did it. So things are still running. The moon is still turning. Everybody's still wakes up in the morning, goes to school, to work. Nothing changes. Nothing changed without having an association. So
the world didn't come
to No.
Folks, can you believe that? What a concept.
Yes.
What a concept. And you can have your cracked flower pot on your front porch. If you like, it won't devalue your property.
Not at all.
No, and we're
awesome.
We're getting along. You know, we're getting along.
You know, there's something else. They keep talking about property values, and the HOA is going to protect your property values. But you guys are a perfect example of the bogus sentiment there, because half of your neighborhood is in an HOA and half of it is not. And, Mariah, you told me the one without the HOA, the values were a little bit higher.
They have been a little bit higher, especially in those houses where the homeowners made huge improvements. One homeowner has screened-in porch off the side, modernized everything. And that went for the highest price of any townhouse ever And that was in the non-HOA neighborhood.
And for us,
there goes that myth out the window.
HOA, non-HOA, for anybody that's not from the neighborhood, it's the same model. You cannot tell. Same houses. But before they were built, before HOA time and out, you know.
It was about a 3 or 4 year process when they were built. And it just, in the second phase of the building, the developer sort of put these covenants in place. And the other phase didn't have them. So, no, it doesn't make a difference.
No, they sell higher, actually quicker, too.
Because people want non-HOA-controlled housing, and there just isn't any out there.
No.
Mm-mm. You know,
no.
With this new mania of walkable and smart growth and walkable communities, they're tearing down all the old uncontrolled housing and replacing it with, well, you see what's happening
around here.
Gentrified place,
The
Washington. The reason I say that is because the Washington Post did an article on the show when I started this show on the Commons, and they called it a seedy industrial area.
Not anymore.
Because it was a pound for where the tow trucks would come and bring cars. Mm-hmm. So you had these dogs and these chain link fences and all of this stuff, and now it's sort of all of that's gone, and it's getting...
You have a Target and a Hilton and...
I know.
And buildings around you, condos and...
Oh yeah, condos. We've got tons of condos.
Yeah.
I don't know what you hear about condos. I lived in one for a while and was pretty happy there. They kind of left me alone, and, it was fairly limited. I didn't feel the heavy hand. Again, you're not doing the exterior maintenance. You're not. It's a little harder. And they allowed dogs, and it was an old town. It was kind of a nice condominium. I'm not saying I like that kind of ownership. I think if I had been more aware of the rules, I probably would have hated it. But I think because I didn't know, I just wasn't paying attention. There must be a way to live in an apartment building without being a part of a condo. We used to own apartments and not have condominiums.
I was going to say, go to Paris, go to London. You've got all these old...
Yep.
Beautiful, beautiful old buildings that are still standing after 200 or 300 years.
Yeah.
And they don't have a flipping governance structure.
Yeah.
People buy them, they renovate them, mm-hmm. they get along, mm-hmm. and it's...
I guess they pay a little money for the super, and then they also probably pay a little bit for...
They have their annual meeting,
yeah,
and they get
yeah.
together and make a decision as right. to what they want to do.
To have done,
sure.
yeah.
You don't have the hired hand telling mm-hmm. you how to live.
Yeah,
and that's
how to behave. Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, what to wear. You've got condos where they have a dress code.
I know. I think we need
yeah,
one.
Yeah, Sam's got
I think we
one.
Need
Oh, I haven't heard that one before. Oh, yeah.
Yes.
They have a dress code. You know, you can... You can't do this. Oh, some of them are horrible. I think any time you give people a little power...
Goes to the head.
It's just out of control. They are totally out of control. So sometimes you have good people, and sometimes you don't.
Mm-hmm.
And it doesn't mean that every single condo is bad. It doesn't mean that every single HOA is bad. But every single one of them is subject to the same laws and... is subject to changing. We always say
you have the potential, you know, election, and
you're
you have
one
a couple
election
of cooks
away
and
from having that whole thing turn around.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. We're talking to Sam and Mariah Ferran, who did what all of us want to do. It's our big dream if we live in an HOA, and that's to get the power
and
of the HOA.
The reason too it ended at the end, this guy came in and put everybody and put them, let them know what their options were, and but all of a sudden, the money became their own problem, because in the beginning, they used to collect money from all of us to fight me and Mariah, to fight us.
Mm-hmm.
Now the Band of 16, or whatever they call themselves, they started spending money from their own pockets.
Boy, did they get
for their lawyers, and they want everything to end so quickly.
Yeah, it sort of sobered them up.
Yes.
I think spending your own money makes you sensible.
Yes.
It was just it had the most.
Before they didn't care. Let it. You know, take as long as it does. The Ferrans will probably stop because they're going to run out of money.
No, it was enormously. It cleared their heads
when they had to pay
their own lawyers.
Yes.
Yeah.
When they started paying their own money.
Oh.
When we told them sign here, this is the new document. Where could we sign? Just let us know. We'll sign it now.
Mm-hmm.
What's interesting is that we've also been talking about our dream legislation.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the things that I would like to have on there is not indemnifying the board members so that they are responsible for what they do. And as you have mentioned, CAI will tell you, you won't have anyone run. Oh, my God, that's the end of it. Oh, wouldn't that be nice? The point that you're making is once they had to start spending their own money, then they started thinking. And all of a sudden, it was a whole different perspective.
Mm-hmm.
It's not, oh, well, we can just keep assessing and
yes.
spending.
Yeah, they were dying to end it quickly
because
they were bleeding,
and
which we had been for
and the
years,
other people that supported them or gave them, like, you know, good neighbors or whatever you want to call them, or like followers, stopped. And then it became them, and it became the 16 instead of 44.
So it was good. It was very clarifying. I think bankruptcy for us was a little bit like a cleanse, like these movie stars do cleanses.
Oh.
That's what it was for us. That's what it was for us.
I want to make something clear. We didn't bankrupt them. They bankrupted
yeah.
themselves.
Yeah.
They could have stopped this at any point in time. Since the day we wrote our first letter, 4 years ago, maybe more
That's
now,
right.
5 years.
Yeah.
They bankrupted themselves. They dragged it, and this is what I can say about that. So,
do you feel strongly about this, Sam?
Yes.
But anyway, the best thing we did, I think, Shu, is we put a provision into our documents that we knew when we did this that this would not be the kind of thing that we knew our case was having an impact in Virginia, because what our case clarified, what the court clarified in our case was that if you don't have a finding authority in your documents, the board can't read it in through the adoption of a resolution. You can't change a contract any way you want by reading things into it that aren't there. And that's essentially what HOAs all over Virginia were doing.
Oh, yeah.
At the advice of CAI attorneys.
That's right.
The court said, no, you can't do that with contracts. And, of course, you can't. Otherwise, everybody would be rewriting these contracts any way they want.
Aren't they doing that
and
already?
Well, they are doing that.
That's right.
And they're doing it right now, and I'm a little alarmed by it. Lucky for us, we put a clause in our covenants that provides that any laws passed after I don't know what it is, July 1st, 2013, mm-hmm. anything that changes in the Virginia Property Owners Act or any other state laws has to be ratified by us. I have no idea if this provision's legal or not. I don't know.
But usually the legislatures won't tell you, they won't impose something. They'll say, if it's not strictly forbidden in your governing documents, or if you don't have the power and whatever, this mm-hmm. can apply. And I think what they're so afraid of is they're afraid of interfering with contract, because all of a sudden you have state action.
Mm-hmm.
And once you have state action, then the Constitution applies
mm-hmm.
because it's no longer contractual.
Mm-hmm.
It's all of a sudden state action.
I wonder when it becomes state action, though. At what point does it become state action?
You know, I wouldn't mind. Well, that's why they're so very careful.
Mm-hmm.
If you read the wording, they're very, very careful. But then you've got your CAI attorneys who say, well, it's the law, or what they'll do. And guys, listen carefully, because if your attorney's telling you that your governing documents are out of date
mm-hmm.
and they need to be rewritten, they're not out of date, and they don't need to be rewritten.
That's exactly right. That's what they wanted to do in our association.
They
want to modernize you to bring them in compliance with state law.
Oh, yeah.
Well, there is no state law to bring them in compliance with. They're your documents.
Yeah.
You don't have to bring them in compliance with anything.
That's all they want to do.
Oh, I love that one. I love that one.
That's a CAI mantra. I've heard it from so many of them.
The other thing that homeowners fall into, because a lot of people called us after the show, after the article in the Post, and asked for advice, and then, you know, what happened, and your lawyer, or what. A lot of people fall into this trap. They hire a lawyer to consult them on their problems with their HOA, or they talk to a lawyer, and they happen to talk to a CAI lawyer.
Yep.
This is the biggest mistake somebody can do. I mean, you're bringing the fox into the hen house,
is what you're doing.
It's a conflict of interest.
Yes.
It's a huge conflict.
But they give them advice, and they start,
that
and I say, well, you want somebody that's not a CAI lawyer.
Well, there are a few that are good, and I could give you the names of some people who are, but by and large, stay away from them.
Yeah. No, I've got friends that are CAI attorneys.
Yeah, and they're good people, and they're honest, but honest. Yeah,
but they're few and far between.
Hmm.
But there is, they're not going to fight their interest or give you your best interest advice. If you're fighting your HOA, this is what they represent. This is what...
That's where their bread's butter
is. Their bread and butter is.
Well,
and they have fooled themselves into thinking they're doing a service. I can't believe that these people wake up every morning and think, let me go out and nail a few more innocent homeowners. I think they honestly think, have talked themselves into, because they're being paid well to do this,
and
that they are preserving community relations,
and
that they are helping the majority for the very few that won't follow the rules. What they're doing is they're helping the majority maintain order in these communities. That's what they lie to themselves.
Sure.
That's the lie.
Sure, and the irony is, a few of the, I don't know much, a lot of CAI lawyers, but the few I know, they don't live in HOA, so go figure it out.
Hey, listen, Sam, I have to tell you something. CAI doesn't come on the show anymore, but they used to come on in the beginning, and I would ask every one of them, right at the very end of the show, do you live in an HOA? They all said no.
So either they know something we don't.
They do.
Yeah.
And they do.
You know, this is changing sand. It's moving sands. When you write a contract, when you sign a contract, you sign a contract. It's not a moving sand and stuff. And they're helping the sand to move, and they'd like to be on a dry land themselves.
Well, one of them said to me, I why does it matter? I said, well, I'm just kind of curious. I mean, you've just spent an hour talking about how wonderful they are, and you don't live in them. I don't need to go home to those headaches.
It's the same thing. It's the same thing. Let's say if somebody owns a restaurant and he doesn't take his family to eat there. It's the same concept. You know, you have a product that you don't support.
Yeah.
How could you heartedly advertise it and go after it if there is a product? I'm in sales. That you don't sell a product that I don't consume myself. How can I?
No, I know. It's really hypocritical.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
So so much for our private contracts, because right now there are a bunch of laws down in Richmond that are interfering with all the private contracts. I mean, on the one hand, they say you guys signed a contract, you're bound, and on the other hand, lobbyists go down to Richmond and they get the legislators to rewrite the contracts. And right now there's some bills down there that fundamentally change the balance of power between a homeowner and a board of directors in a really, really powerful way, including overturning our case.
I mean, it's a knee-jerk reaction. It happens all the time.
Well, is it a private contract or isn't it? Yeah. And why are they rewriting it down there where nobody knows about it?
What they will tell you, the question that I love is, but you agreed, didn't you? I would like to know who on earth, in their right mind, fully understanding what these things are, would agree to this.
Well, they wouldn't. They hide them from you. That's why you're not allowed to look at the covenants until you've already done a purchase agreement. And then you have, I think, 3 days to rescind it. Well, by then you've got your financing. You got your dream. You're looking at all the
you
clean.
Live without this house.
Can't
anymore.
Live without it. You've got.
Yeah, it's an emotional purchase.
It's an emotional thing.
Yeah, and I think that one of the things that we've talked about is making sure that realtors sit down and give you a plain, no gloss, no sugar, no icing, honest to goodness statement of what an HOA is.
It's against their interest to do that.
But,
so they would have to be required to do that.
But
yeah.
They would have to be required
to
do that. But the thing is, you have to have an option. Because if you said, hell no, I'm not going into that thing, there's nothing else.
Well, you know what? If they're so great, wouldn't people want to know all about them? You know, if they're so fantastic and they really
do
preserve property values and build community and all these fabulous things that they purport to do, wouldn't you scream it from the rooftops instead of hiding it from people?
Good point, Mariah.
Sure. This is what they said about our case, too. I mean, they signed in. They know what was going on. Because we knew what was going on, we pushed the way we pushed. And we were lucky to have the finances to do it. But because we knew what was in the contract, that they cannot put fines on us without passing it through the majority of the people living there. Yes, we read and we knew what was going on.
And we had unbiased legal advice.
Yes.
We had advice from attorneys that didn't have any financial stake in the outcome.
Yeah, that's important. Yeah. But the thing is, you're lucky that you found someone.
I love Scott Saravelle. Mm-hmm. Shout out to the man.
Hey, Scott!
And by the way, he helped us with this revision. So if anybody thinks that they have the membership support for this, or if
he
anybody,
can do the revision.
He can help you with it, so...
And
I know he'd be happy to.
So you better check it out. I got to get my webmaster to put it up for me.
Yeah, so
getting him to do much is.
Well, we were very. It was kind of lucky in a way that we were in. This all happened in the context of bankruptcy proceeding, because we were able to make these changes, vote on them, and then we got the blessing of the bankruptcy court. So it was a neat package. You know, I think there's always a fear that what you're doing may not be able to uphold it somewhere, or you're worried that you don't have that you haven't done things correctly. But we did it. We presented it to the trustee and the bankruptcy judge. They loved it, because I think in the history of the bankruptcy court, in Chapter 11, there's probably been one case where we were the only people probably that have ever been paid in full. It just doesn't happen. So they couldn't believe, they were so happy. One, they didn't have to deal with our messy situation. And two, that we were able to come up with a solution and everybody got paid. the trustee, the creditors,
us.
Yeah, everybody.
You know, in full.
You got your money
in full.
No, no, when we say in full and well, what was owed to us, we still have a lot of money out. I mean, of course.
Yeah. Okay.
But what the
yeah,
courts
we,
gave us, yes.
We were paid everything.
And
we were
everything
owed.
The courts gave us, yes. But we.
Okay, now, yeah. You had more than one case going on. You had one case that you'd win and then you'd go.
We had two separate lawsuits, yes. We dropped because of we filed a non-suit in one. We separated the issues out because it was getting confusing. And we'd already won on one issue, so we wanted to finish that up. That was the fines. And then we had the architectural separate issues, and we ended up in a second lawsuit with those. And after they lost on the first, they thought, oh, let's double down, and we'll – they fought us on the architectural stuff, and we won on that too.
But you were right. Two lawsuits, but – you'll appear in front of a judge so many times.
Yeah.
It'll be hearings and stuff.
Yeah.
And each time we appear in front of a judge, we won.
Yes.
They sided on our side. And this is what kept us going. I mean, we were not crazy to continue if we saw that things
yeah.
were not going our
we
way.
We talked about that last time yeah. we were here, yeah. That you can't get so emotionally involved that you gamble your... all your money away on this stuff. The way they can, because their bills
using,
are being paid.
Yeah, they're using someone.
They're using else.
Not at the end.
But yeah. No, that's very good.
Yeah.
But although you won, and although you knew what you were doing, and although you were ready to drop it if you thought you were going to lose, it still took a huge emotional toll on
you. Oh, yes.
It really took a toll on both of you.
Well, it was hard. I mean, it's hard. Litigation is kind of a battle. And the best thing to do is to spend an hour of day thinking about it and then compartmentalize it. But that's awfully hard to do.
Because I hear from people
yeah,
and, they,
yeah.
you know, it just consumes them. Absolutely consumes them.
Well,
it is. And you don't understand a lot of times. I mean, we stayed on the issue, on the message, no emotions outside us discussing it.
Mm-hmm.
But you don't understand what motivates the other side. Why? How do they have this power or this will to just
you're
stop?
Questioning their authority.
Yes.
And
that's what it was, yeah.
And that's just it. You were questioning their authority, which then says, wait a minute, these are not the democracies that CAI would have us believe they are. There's nothing democratic about giving a handful of neighbors all kinds of power.
Mm-hmm, with no restraints.
There's no adult supervision anywhere.
No.
And then you've got the clowns down in Richmond who really don't know what they're doing
mm-mm,
at all.
Mm-mm. I don't think they...
They don't.
I mean,
they may be nice, but they don't know what they
No, are. I think they're good. They're good people and they're good politicians, but this is a little bit... I think a lot of times bills are presented as a solution to a problem that doesn't exist.
Yeah.
And in fact, it doesn't solve problems for anybody but the attorneys and the management companies that make money off of fees and fines.
Yeah, it creates problems.
It creates problems for homeowners.
Yeah.
And ties them up to the point where you're like a mummified. They're mummifying people in their homes. They're writing the laws so tightly that there's no way out.
But these lobbyists and specialists rely on these politicians that have the votes that don't know much, because we know in our lives you go to a specialist. You have a toothache, you go to a dentist. You have a foot, you go to the foot doctor. And these politicians should or their position is to pass all these laws that comes from every specialty and everywhere. So they don't know at times what they're doing or what they're signing.
Mm-hmm.
But somebody's pushing it at them. A specialist is pushing at them. And this is the problem.
Mm-hmm. Well, CAI has always purported to talk for the homeowners. We're here representing the homeowners. And this is what the homeowners want. Yeah, yeah, find me. That's what I want.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Take my house.
Sure.
You know, foreclosed non-judicially because my dog weighs 2 inches or 2 ounces more than the allowable weight. And yeah, that's what I want. Go ahead.
Well, I want to know why there were three lobbyists I heard down there pushing this new bill. which pretty much overturns our case or clarifies it. I'm sure they went down there and said, you know, the law's murky now. Mm. We need to clarify it. Boy, they clarified it. It hasn't passed yet. I think it's out of committee. It's House Bill 791, yeah. Lemunyan.
Yeah.
I don't know who this dude is, but I'd like to talk to him in a dark alley. And what the bill essentially says is unless your covenants specifically prohibit fines, your board can adopt them. Well, what homeowner in their right mind wants fines? And if they do want fines, and if our case did threaten their fining authority, why didn't these CAI attorneys go back and, with the boards of directors, convince the membership of the wisdom of fines and amend their documents? They always tell us to go back and amend our documents. If you're a homeowner that has a problem, they say, go back. Organize people. You can do it. Yeah. It's a democracy.
You did it.
Well, we certainly did.
We did it because the courts.
Yeah, we did it because we in the end, we had a lot more.
You did it.
Yeah.
Yes,
but why don't they go organize? Why don't they go
so
organize? If fines are such a great idea, why don't they rewrite the documents to allow them?
I can't think of anything more reprehensible than a neighbor finding another neighbor.
I can't either.
That just blows my mind.
You know, I know now sometimes why they needed something like this, because they're afraid of their own taste. And I can see it in our neighborhood. Now that we have free will, the people that were trying to enforce architectural things, they put the ugly stuff on their houses.
I am not kidding you.
They change roofs.
A couple of the people that were on the board have just put the ugliest roofs on their house. I'm sorry. We're so happy to give you the right to live the way you want. But we looked out the window. It looks like chewing gum. It looks like they put big globs. And I looked at Sam. I said, maybe we made a mistake.
But
we respect their right to live the way they wish. But
I think they were protecting their own, you know, taste. But anyway.
It's not the end. You buy a house to live in it,
mm-hmm.
and it represents and reflects you and your personality and your needs.
Yeah.
And that is the value of your home.
Mm-hmm.
It's not the monetary value. It's what it gives you.
Yeah, it's a refuge. It's a place where you are, you know, the love of your family is there, your safety, your pets, you know, the whole, everything that you have, your memories. And that's what your home is. And I think that's why people fight so hard when they feel threatened in their homes. I mean, everybody knows about the castle doctrine, and everyone knows what it's an instinctual thing. But it should be a place of warmth and safety, not a place where you're under attack.
People are afraid of going home. They're terrified of checking the mail.
Mm-hmm.
They don't know if there's going to be a nasty gram taped to the door.
Oh, this is something we don't miss. We don't have any communication from these people anymore.
No friendly reminders.
No friendly reminders. Keep your light up and at night or the back door or whatever. Nothing.
No.
Backlight.
Did you get permission to have a hose in your yard,
yeah.
Sam?
That was one. I think we had something like they never enforced that.
Never enforced one. That. Everybody had hoses, and they were some of them are pretty old. Imagine they're gonna drag the hose back each time they want to water and stuff.
Dusty mailboxes.
That's why it doesn't work, because some is enforceable and some is not, and some people the law works on them and some. Not a friend, something, a board member. So let it be open for everybody. Like we're enjoying. We cannot contain. It changed our way of living in our home.
Yes, it did.
We're as if we're in a house alone, still very friendly with the neighbors. Nothing changed.
Hey, Shu, we were invited to 3 Christmas parties. So
in the neighborhood.
I think maybe more than anybody.
Maybe
more than anybody else.
So a lot of people.
So it's
are
not
happy.
Like. Yeah, it isn't. It didn't ruin our lives. I know it. We went through a lot when we went through it, but now that it's over, we are overjoyed with the result. and living in relative freedom.
So were these neighbors backing you all the way?
Quietly.
Quietly.
Yeah.
But they didn't stand with you?
Nobody, no, very few, nobody, no.
One couple.
One couple only.
And they spent their own money, too.
And they spent their own money. They were about to have a full-blown lawsuit, too, on their own.
Oh, really?
One couple. But the others were silently. Actually, we were surprised from quotes in a newspaper. Somebody said, the article said, the supporter of the Farrans, and I was surprised to see who it was. A lot of people were silently.
They were quietly cheering us on. But
they hated HOA. They don't want to pay, more money, or they don't care about the square. Some people don't care about the square, the maintenance of it. And they thought maybe we didn't go far
enough
to abolish.
They wanted
no
abolished
participation,
yeah.
No money.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Some people were.
Yes.
Didn't want to sign these revised covenants because they wanted it. They said, I thought it was gone.
Yeah.
They thought the bankruptcy would kill it.
Kill
and
it.
We said, well, not really. It's still kind of there. And this is, we're doing this to make it as benign as possible.
Yeah.
But they were like, well, we don't even want
as
it.
As less expensive as possible.
Yeah.
Because this was the least expensive way, is to keep
yeah.
the association instead of going to a voluntary one,
mm-hmm.
or instead of abolishing it.
It has limited function now.
Just keep it with limited functions was the best solution, least expensive solution.
Yeah. But no, we're people. I think we also had people that told us we really didn't understand what was going on, so we didn't want, we were afraid to take sides, and they really didn't understand.
But they paid each time they were asked from the board. Pay up. Yeah. Everybody paid.
So were there special assessments?
Yes.
The church
it went up from 600.
No, there were not special assessments. They increased the budget. And they just stuck thousands in the budget. And that only lasted, a year and a half? Two annual meetings. And the second annual meeting, people were really balking.
Third annual meeting.
Because we didn't have a mechanism for attorney's fees. It had to go in our regular budget. We didn't have a special assessment mechanism. You know, that's how old our documents were. And I'm sure that they would have loved to, the attorneys advising them would have loved to update to bring them in compliance with current law to allow for assessments. But we didn't have it. So they had to stick it in the budget. And there you'd see it, you know, $30,000 for taking care of the lawn and reserves, and $100,000 for attorney's fees. It was
what happened.
It was remarkable.
Like $600 per house to $3,200 per house a year.
Budget, yeah.
Oh wow!
All attorney's fees.
Yes, like for a couple of years, and then people started.
They started just saying, oh, "That's it. We're not." They stopped paying. What happened is people stopped paying.
So it went from $600 to $3,200.
Yes.
What? And we had to pay because we had to fight us. Because we're part of the community, you know?
Yeah.
They send you the bill,
yeah,
you pay it. But anyway. It's
you should see your face.
You know, I've been doing this for 26, 27 years, and it just that's a huge increase. Actually, when I was reading your governing documents, the ones that you wrote, I noticed that you have an annual that it cannot go up by more than 10%.
Yes,
and I'm thinking, that's high.
That is?
But, yeah.
We haven't set a baseline.
We haven't set a baseline yet. We're
going to
have
meetings.
No,
no,
that's a suggestion. That's not the baseline.
Okay.
So.
To 700. We're going to get together in April, and we're going to hash this
out. March or April, hash this out. To me, we can still go without an association. I mean, a year and a half passed. Nothing happened. Everybody's happy.
Do you have a board now?
No.
No.
Ask for money, yes, because we have to mow the lawn and shovel the snow if it happens and have insurance for kids running around. But that's it. I mean, even the roads, we owe them individually.
Yeah, we found out that we own
them.
We
own them individually. The association does not own the road.
Yeah. Yeah. So we don't really need, except for there's about 30 yards at the entrance that they own. So
between the main road and the square. This is what they.
That's all they own, and that's all they're responsible for maintaining. So our special assessment, I mean, our cap assessment for capital, our reserves would be about $20. I mean, how much can it can it cost to
why should we pay in the reserve? They took them anyway in the first place in the first
spent
lawsuit.
Spend them on their lawsuit.
Spend them on the lawsuit fighting us.
There's very little left for us to do anymore.
But,
and I think
we're
going to pick cut flower. We're going to it's going to be a lawnmower association.
You know, the baseline can be whatever, 300, 200,
yeah, that's going to be
we'll
the debate. That'll be what we talk about.
I thought 600 was the baseline, and then you're sort of 10%. I'm going to run it. So who's collecting the money?
No, nothing. Nobody now. It's been a year and a half.
No assessments.
Nothing.
Who's paying the money?
The guilty the guilty people.
The guilty people.
Yes, are like now very grandiose and helping here and paying the gardener. This has been
out of their own pocket.
Yeah.
Oh.
You know, if there is no more guilt than that, you just tell me what's guilty. You know, they're doing it.
No, it's nice. They kept the square up. And I think a few people, they ask for voluntary
donations. Yeah, they ask for a donation.
Old-fashioned barn raising.
Which is great. Yep. Ask for donations.
It's the old American way.
Maybe this is the solution. A donation, I suggest $300 a year per house as a donation, and it'll take care of everything.
Somebody's going to collect, and somebody's going to buy the insurance, and somebody...
They've been doing that.
It worked fine. Now, I'm sure that they want the rest of us to kick in, and we will, once we have our meeting.
No, but yes.
And we get a budget. We're going to have a budget,
yeah.
And we'll kick in to mow the lawn and collect the snow. We all own that land jointly, whatever the corporation owns.
So it'll be a real community.
Yeah,
it's
really will.
It's not the association, yeah. It's the neighborhood.
It's not going to be a Mickey Mouse community.
No.
Run by CAA.
And you know, I'd be happy to report back in about a year or two and tell you how it's working.
Well, I plan on keeping in touch with you guys because I think that we have a lot of work ahead of us in terms of trying to educate our legislators.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I agree.
They represent...
And I think they probably welcome it, because I'm sure they don't want to be passing rotten bills. I really don't think they want to be hurting individuals out there. There was a bill that just... I think it's going to pass, the one where they've shortened the time that you have to pay your overdue assessments. And they shortened it from 60 days to 30 days. Now, that's a week after the newspaper came out with an article saying old people and people on fixed incomes are having trouble paying their assessments. And sure enough, the way they respond is by shortening the amount of time that you have to pay.
From 60 to 30.
So yeah. I find it hard to believe that the delegate that introduced that is a cruel-hearted woman who's trying to throw old people out on the street. It looks that way to me, but until I know for sure.
It's Vivian Watts.
Yeah.
And she's up here in Northern Virginia, and perhaps we ought to go and have a little word with Miss Watts.
Yeah, I hope so, because I'm sure she's a decent human being and doesn't realize that that's putting the screws on people when they most need a little bit of a break. And it's not going to hurt the association to wait 30 more days. Everybody else gives you a grace period. Those are the kind of things I see that I think maybe need a little input from us, Shu, with all our experience.
Yeah. Yeah, we do need to explain to them what they're doing. In fact, when I went to Chad Peterson and David Bulova's town hall meeting last year, I told them, between them, the legislature, and CAI, they've just made a total mockery of hearth and home. And they pretty much agreed with that. I mean, they've empowered associations beyond belief.
Mm-hmm.
So everything is happy in Old Belhaven.
Everything's good.
Everything's great. Yeah.
Everything's wonderful.
Yeah.
And thank you for doing this, because you've sort of shown us that we can do it and life does go on, that you don't need an HOA. And I love your corporations that run a neighborhood to being a neighborhood that runs a corporation. But I'd like to, I always hate the word community in association with HOAs. But in your case, I think what you have is a real community.
We do. Some people have been there for a while, long time.
We genuinely like our neighbors. We are genuinely fond of them, and we love some of them.
Yeah,
We go, we socialize with a few.
Yeah.
With quite a number of them. I mean, we go.
They really are good. They're wonderful
out
people.
And to restaurants and stuff at times. Yeah. They're wonderful people.
Yeah.
And they've been there for a while. It's a community. It is.
Mm-hmm.
That's awesome. Well, thank you so much for coming. Keep us posted.
I know that
a lot of people will be asking how are the Ferrants doing, because people have been following your story.
Thank you.
Please check out our website at onthecommons.us. On the Commons is produced by OTC Multimedia Productions.
Well, I finally bought my dream home to enjoy retirement life. I've made new friends and buddies, lots of parties for my wife. It seemed that life was perfect, all my neighbors felt the same. Then along came death by CCRs, life's over, I'm fair game. Those petty rules and regulations, it's enough to make you cry. They're full of woes, no pink flamingos, someone tell us why. Slick managers and lawyers slither close, but they won't tell why our dream home should remind us we bought a one-way ticket to hell. Now there's lots of open meetings close to Justice 4HO. Those arrogant board members say what they want you to know. The CAI and ULI will help you lose it all. But I wouldn't sell that dream home yet, the writing's on the wall. Those petty rules and regulations, it's enough to make you cry. They're full of woes, no pink flamingos, someone tell us why. Slick managers and lawyers slither close, but they won't tell why our dream home should remind us we bought a one-way ticket to hell. Well, we're not afraid or stupid, all your threats mean nothing here. Time marches on, soon you'll be gone, united we'll be there. So put your rules and CCRs up where the sun don't shine, and enjoy those precious golden years, stop messing around with mine. Those petty rules and regulations, it's enough to make you cry. They're full of woes, no pink flamingos, someone tell us why. Slick managers and lawyers slither close, but they won't tell why our dream home should remind us we bought a one-way ticket to hell. Why our dream home should remind us we bought a one-way ticket to hell.